their natural opiates, go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
right.
harder to wake up.
Right. Yeah. That's very painful. So, is that it?
I just want to, I'm harping on about this and I realize it's really troubling. It's around responsibility in terms of the harming. So if my intention is not to harm and someone says, by being who you are now in this relationship is harming me, have I a responsibility to look at that?
I don't know. I mean, you notice how non-humble and silent and weak a person I am. You notice that, do you? You notice that I, you know, even if I walk into a room, there's an energy that I have, you know. It's been true pretty well all of my life. It's gotten a little more mellow and easier to take. But in my, you know, early days, mostly, I just tried to be invisible. So I did it by pulling all that in, right? Then puberty hit, and I put it all out, and and always had this thing of trying to figure out how to be involved with community without being too brash, too loud, too quick. I've always had a certain kind of insightful mind. So I used to say things that people would rather I didn't say. And sometimes I would say them with great malice. And so most of my life I have struggled with just this question. And at various times I've tried various things, you know. I mean, as I said, I worked really hard at putting all that energy to suppress this consciousness, this emotional desire. Which doesn't work. I mean, it basically makes one resentful and angry and lonely and mistrustful and sick, basically. I mean, and none of those things are really my career choices. So it's a very limited amount of time that I can put into that. So then at some point, then the opposite also occurs. You know, there's a sudden flare up of telling everybody how little they appreciate you. And how much you have done to make them appreciate, you know, and blah, blah, blah. And so then people really back off, you know. So it's a real difficult thing. On the other hand, I am way too intense for many people in many circumstances. And I do tend to see things a little quicker, especially emotional patterns, than your average bear. And that's from Winnie the Pooh, isn't it? Your average bear. Yeah. Then your average bear. And it is sometimes shocking to spend some time in my company when I think I'm just hanging out, you know. And so I have often had people say that to me. You're too intimidating. And I've tried all the different ways of working with that until it struck me that the universe hasn't made any mistakes. So then I started playing around with it by saying, well, why are you intimidating me by saying that? Or how have I intimidated you? But not trying to do plastic surgery so much as trying to extend my awareness. As much as you are able. Does that help?
Yes.
And some people are trying to intimidate you with their weakness. And I appreciate them because they're so good at it. You know, some people have made it into a major art form. So I love art. You know, one of my friends who I haven't seen since I said that to her, actually. gee. She is just like so good at being wounded. And I used to love watching her do it, you know, because she was gold medal, Olympic champion. I mean, it was an art form. So she did one particularly well with this, in this interaction with this child. And I said to her, I don't know anybody who can do that like you do. That's a brilliant way to survive. And I was actually admiring it. Like I said, I haven't seen her since, so. I'm not sure she was admiring my admiration. But there are some people who do that. You might have to put a piece of paper in it to keep it to close. And then we need to put some insulation in the ceiling if we're really going to get separate here. And now the singing starts. Oh, goody. Ah, this is perfect for compassion. Isn't it? Yeah, it's just going to be interfering with your space, isn't it? Isn't this lovely? Who arranged this? This is good. Oh, this is good. I like it. Okay. Is that reasonable?
Thank you, yes. It has been troubling me a lot, and I have been trying to do that.
It's not going to work. Yeah, I mean, you can feel when you're off balance, when you're too sharp, and then you say, you know, I was really too sharp. You can say that. You know, honesty, there's nothing like honesty. I know when I'm being too, you know, too much in someone's face. And I say, excuse me. You feel when someone isn't ready to hear you. You don't speak. There is a responsibility to love each other. We do have a responsibility to love each other. Especially because we want to be loved. Don't we? So, is that it for questions, answers, comments, or complaints? Compassion is the second of the four boundless states. If someone has actually mastered compassion, the sense of their being is as vast as boundlessness. I have never met anyone who has mastered compassion. Although His Holiness the Dalai Lama is certainly close. He is a great being, that one. And amazing that, you know, we actually meet Him. We actually know Him. We have pictures of Him in our kitchens. Because 50 years ago, that wouldn't have been true. Would it? Fifty years ago, he wouldn't even have known. What he looked like. No one outside of Tibet would have, really. Few people, very few. So it's an amazing thing. And another person who had great compassion, but she was more someone who worked with devotion rather than with compassion. She was more of the heart. Was Mother Teresa. She worked more with the heart. just working continuously. Guru yoga is basically what she did because she saw Jesus everywhere. In Tibetan terms, it would be called guru yoga. Everything was service to the guru. A devotional path. Very beautiful practice. Remember yesterday when we were moving the consciousness out? That is the basis for all the formless states. You cannot practice the formless states unless you have that sense of the spaciousness. Because there was perspective when we were doing that, wasn't there? You get that sense of perspective. And then what is the mind that was able to work with that image? You know, look how far your mind could penetrate. Right? You took the mind to the edge of what you could perceive mentally and then opened it up. So what is that quality of the mind that can have such a vast range of awareness? There were moments in that for all of you at some time or other where you actually did feel like you were aware in a large sphere, weren't there? And you actually are. And you actually were. There is an infinite ocean of consciousness boundless. There are all of the motives of all time ever, every desire, all cause and effect, like waves and ripples dancing in that ocean. There is a sense, you know, there is a particular wave or a bit of flotsam or jetsam called a you. You're not separate from the waves and ripples, and you're not separate from the boundless nature. So the sense of self that's involved with linear time, its brain is here. It operates with six sense doors. And it's in charge of the form realm. Linear time, past, present, and future. We all know that one pretty well. That's the one that wants to repeat actions that worked in the past. We get very bound into feeling that we are that and it's permanent. Because that one functions by not trying to remember the beginning. The sense of that quality of your consciousness has always been here, hasn't it? Popped out of the womb, just like this. In fact, I was like this when I was in the womb, and I'll be like this after I die. There's that quality up to it, isn't there? You know, just extending linearly. It is not logical. But it's very conceptual. Do you understand the difference between those two? A concept. A concept is that this is a glass, and it can be very useful as a concept, but in fact it is a bunch of processes working together, and sometime or other it will cease to function. Its function is actually being something to drink out of. It's a function. But it doesn't actually have this identity from some creator God somewhere saying, this is a glass and it will exist throughout all universes, all time, all space, for eternity as a glass. It is a concept of a glass. Is that clear? But, you know, a child, I don't know if you ever, you know, took a blanket and made it into different things when you were a kid. Tent, cape, right? Child is capable of playing around with some of these concepts, not doing things, quote, properly, end quote.
Now, our civilization is when we agree on certain concepts together. So we can all use reality in the same way, so we have the most ease interacting with each other. So every culture has the concepts that they work with. Does that make sense? Every group has their concepts that they work with. They all agree with those concepts, and so they can operate together. And ignore other concepts if they want. Is that clear? Mm-hmm. Concepts are not logical. When you actually look at this and say, is this actually a glass? You logically have to come to the conclusion that this is actually functioning as a glass. And I'm naming it as if it were an identity based on what I use it to function for. It's actually an activity, not a noun. It's a verb, not a noun. Logically. But I really cling to its nounness. Because that allows me to cling to my nounness. Beautiful. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's beautiful, Tony. Yeah. That's right. That's exactly true. And it's wonderful that we do that. That is wonderful. So the Buddha said, I too use concepts. I'm just not fooled by them. Now, isn't this interesting? So that's what this brain does. This brain creates realities and then names them as being real and says, I see that. It's really magnificent. It depends, of course, on what it's seeing. It can insist on seeing negative. You know? There will be a whole set of events that make the rosary of its mantra. So it'll keep recreating particular stories and continuously bring into being, you know, the same kind of negative, you know. Feel a little bored with your life, munching the same oats all the time? Well, watch to see what you're naming as reality. And that's what you're talking about, like the sense of reality is opening a bit. You're giving yourself room to allow some other understanding to arise. Right? This brain has six sense doors that it operates with. The five sense doors, each of which are like radar scopes. They get a certain vibration, which they all send that data to this one, right? And this takes all the data of that and then does a sort of a, you have computers, it does a word search. And then it says, orange. Or it says, music. And if there was previously a negative experience with music, then what it will do, it will say music, but there will be a little red tag on that file. So all of the consciousness will be on red alert and ready for what's going to go wrong. It will be ready for that. When it enters into that name, it will be engaging this brain, which is the brain for emotions. This is the brain called the speech body brain. This is the brain that opens to, eventually, Sambhogakaya. This is the brain that is in charge, has a different level of perception. It is not linear, it's more global. So it does things in globes. It has three sense doors, sight, sound, and mind. It operates with radiances. You know, sound is a radiation, waves and ripples. It's emotions. It's angelic arisings. It's all of the mandalas of the Yidams. It's what you move to with this. Now, the rainbow consciousness. the rainbow serpent. It's the dream tongue. It's psychic powers. It's the movement of energy between form and formless. It is a dancing play of activity that is the waves and ripples in the ocean of consciousness. It is all possibility of form that operates on, depends on which system you use, the system I use, five different types of vibration levels. Okay. So that when you're angry, you can remember every time you're angry and exactly why you're justified in being angry. You did that 7 years ago, too, on January the 17th, as a matter of fact. Right? When you're in love, oh, you have never hurt me. I shall never hurt you. And what is that? I love you, dear, forever, forever. Right? I mean, I love it. The man I have loved forever. Oh, straighten right down here. You know what I'm saying? When you're depressed, you can think of all the reasons why there's no point in fighting the depression. Can't you? Just stay right there. Huh? Cut down the breathing. Don't look up. Can't breathe properly. Don't bother. Are you interested? See, everything that's interesting, you talk to people who see interesting things. You don't see the people who aren't interested. Do you understand that? Does this sound true to you? You know that when you're in a particular emotional state, that the memory goes to other times when you've been in that emotional state. That's his body. He says to us. Oh, and this body is responsible for all the movements of energy through the body. And this energy body, it's motive. And so if there's a tightness here, that's, you know, these two bodies, these are the brains for these bodies. These two bodies, you know, your brain for the physical body is up here, but this is not separate from your physical body. It's a whole system which, you know, here is the regulator. It's a whole system. It is like, you know, you've seen those acupuncture charts. That's part of it. It totally interpenetrates this body. And it moves out as well. 3,500 miles in its most subtle form. But for most people, not much beyond, you know, maybe a few feet. Some people maybe a room. You know, the umbrella in the Tibetan symbolism, that's what it represents. You don't have to. I mean, which past is it? You've got one idea of past, which you're trying to change. One idea, linear time. And you're caught in a globe of not liking it. Why don't you just hop to another globe and pick another idea? There's everything in this room. It's all part of my past. Just the part I'm aware of. It's just one body. Which is what I'm getting to. Okay? You don't have to change the past. You just have to open a bigger view to it.
No, I mean change the past.
Isn't that what you said?
No, I said change the past. Reprogram.
You don't have to reprogram it. You can just remember another thing that happened in the past, which is what we're going to be doing today. Yeah. In a way, it's the same thing. It's just you're just calling on different, you're just not going to the same file folder, picking up the same file folder every time, and ignoring the 5,000 other files that are there. Yeah. You're starting to access more of who you really are. Not insisting that you wear one costume all the time. You should be able to dress every way. Your business suit too. That was so hard for me. My beloved teacher, Namtar Rinpoche, you know, I was dedicated to Salvation Army wardrobes. And I went with him to Europe, and he had me staying in these, castles, and having to dress for dinner. God, that was so painful. My ego was so fragile.
Just like your clothes.
hang a kilt? Is a kilt acceptable? I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about kilts for men. Men can wear kilts. Kilts can. Yeah. Because the concept is there. There is a concept for the culture. And if you do push that concept, you need to do it with kindness. You need to do it with care on both sides. Because, you know, we evoke a lot of fear. You know what I'm saying? If we don't use the right washrooms when other people want us to, we bring up their fear, which is not compassionate. That's all. It's like a matter of compassion, because I am not separate from those people. We are breathing the same air. I'm going to go into that and I'm going to finish the three bodies. Is this okay? Do you understand what I'm saying? So the concepts that run a society, if you really are going to start shaking them, you better do it. You better find some bridges. Don't aim for the top, so that you're not evoking someone's fear. It's very fearful for people to know that they are not an object. It's very fearful for people to know about meaning, because people really feel like they need to be somebody who is good or bad in relationship. And to actually let go of that, to actually question how big that relationship really is, and how untrue a permanent self is, it's terrifying. So that's why, you know, like, you have to really watch for with those concepts. Am I just talking not to you? Am I totally missed what you were saying? Yeah, I know, I'm asking you whether I totally missed what you were saying.
Happens where you leave.
So what happens with the fear then?
Then people reassure themselves and get back into.
If I get out of town.
Yeah. You're not aggravating the fear.
So that is our responsibility.
Everything is my responsibility. What do you think you're not responsible for? How do you? Why do you think that there's some way that you can be neutral? What is it that is so attractive to you about just being a total
projection, I guess, of my own. The way I deal with my fear has forced me to kind of be with, go with it rather than make the other person responsible, like my fear. So I'm confusing myself in terms of, if my intention is not to make someone fearful and they're afraid, and I leave town, am I helping them that way?
Sometimes, and sometimes you're not, so there are no rules. So as I'm saying, why do you want a rule? Why do you want to rule? It's a living experience. It's raining. It's raining. Yes?
About communication, I was just sort of thinking about, like, this point in history is really different to 50 years ago, 100 years ago, in terms of that sense of society's living with communal concepts.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, it is pretty different now, and it's a lot more individuation. And so there's less solid ground for people to communicate. In a way, there's a sense of people being able to communicate better or more effectively, but that common ground isn't there, and communication seems to be like a real problem to me now as society, because even if before people weren't really meeting each other, weren't really communicating, they were just hanging all in there together, but the community, the sense of community and the sense of togetherness grounded people in a reality which
That's right.
was more comfortable in the body, I imagine.
Which is what I'm calling the concepts that we agree with.
Yeah,
that's right.
But we don't even have that as much in a way we do.
They're weaker. They're much weaker. Also because people are more transient. Most people move from one community to another, and they move from one subtle way of using language to another way of using language.
So what's happening with, it seems to me, with communication now, that sometimes we can't even find the basic ground concepts to communicate effectively with another person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Except the basic ground concepts are there: fear, love, indifference, joy, sorrow.
Right.
You know, grief is always the same taste. Mm. Joy is always the same taste. Mm. They are there, but whether we're willing to be honest with each other. There is communication if there's honesty.
Well, that seems to me, in situations where I find it difficult to communicate with people, we have very different lifestyles or approaches, styles of living our life.
Because the concepts are bumping together.
Yeah.
So then that's why you have to be able to go into one of the other bodies.
Right.
That's why you can't do it from this body, which is what I'm saying to you. You got two other bodies to work from.
Right.
And that's what I want to show you today.
Okay.
You got lots of ways. But you have to be willing to see that this one is, you know, this one is very much, it just loves to just say opportunistic. Whatever's easy, this one does. The habitual, the opiate addicted, you know, the quickie, the familiar, the one that worked last time, the brilliant, the stance that won out in childhood. I'm a rebel, you know, whatever. You know, this one is opportunistic. Makes opportunity. And then considers itself immortal, moving through time and space. And loves right answers. Loves to have a way to not feel this one. Certainly not this one. Here and then here. Could you tell me more about that so I understand what you're saying?
Sort of to do with, you know, that your mind is operating.
Yeah. You know that you're regarding someone as an object?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or, an, you know, oh, that would be nice, meaning that would make me look nice, or, you know? Yeah. That kind of linear time, and there's a kind of a very strong sense of separateness to it. I am watching you. And this one is more global. Everybody who shares the same emotion, we're all in it together. Mate.
And I had a response to say along the lines of, I understand, and identify that was an option or desire that he may pursue, and sort of saying that's okay, or I understand, and talking about it with other members of my family, thinking they were thinking that was the wrong thing to say, that I should have said things like, oh, it's not your time yet. All these other views.
Did you feel that there was an honesty and a sharedness with your dad? Then that was with your dad. Then why did you need to go to your family?
Well, I was just
excuse me.
I talked to them.
Excuse me. Why did you need to talk to them? You must have. Why did you need to share that with them? Did one of them say something that allowed you to feel they could hear that?
Oh.
I'm really asking you to really actually go back to that time where you opened your mouth and said that.
Well, because at the time I shared it with that person in my family.
Yeah.
Because I was a bit uncertain.
Thank you. And thank you. Thank you.
Can I say a bit more, though?
Oh, sure.
Because when they
come into my web, said the spider to the fly.
When they offered that bit of extra information, I just thought, how could I say that? I don't know.
So you were feeling unsure, and you spoke to them, and so they told you what they thought.
Yeah, but then
right.
I got some affirmation that what I said was all I could.
It is so fast. I'm going to have to put my roller skates on because you already, I just checking one thing and you're already in the next car.
I'm still here.
Sort of.
Okay.
Sort of. Physically. Sort of.
Okay.
You're with your father. This is a globe, you see, this is his body. You're very much open to how he's feeling. You're communicating to him. You love him. You're open to your relationship with him. He's saying that he wants to die. Don't hold it. Relax. You say, if that's what's going to happen, you know, you support him. That's one whole experience. That's very personal. That's between you and him. Right? Wiggle your toes. Don't hold your breath. I don't like it when you wiggle your toes. She's just holding her breath. Open your mouth. No, as you go into all holy posture, forget it. Watch me. Yeah. Now wiggle your toes. Stay in your body. Stay in your body. Wiggle your toes. Go down. See, let go of trying to hold it. Wiggle your toes. Go down your body. Go down. Drop your shoulders. Ah. Uh-huh. I just keep going. I just keep going until you actually believe me. This works. I'm trying to show you something. Open your mouth. Open your mouth. Wiggle your toes. Relax in your body. Not down in Tasmania, huh? The Maoris did that. The Eskimos do that. I'm not holding back any emotion, they say. Look at you. She's like this. Thank you, thank you. Stay like that. Just stay like that for another minute. Just another minute. And watch your back. Don't change your tongue. Just watch what your body does if you leave your mouth open. Watch. You're going to see something. Your body's going to show you something. Watch the energy. Just watch what happens here. Just another minute here. Relax, relax. You're just at the point where it's changing now. It's like your body is changing gear. Just another minute. Now just really slowly wiggle your toes on one side. Do you feel something shifting? She's only saying that to get me to leave her alone. No, I know you feel it, okay? Stay there. You can close your mouth now. Because your energy is down now. Do you feel the difference? Yeah. You're not rushing off trying to figure it out, you see. Your whole body is here. Stay here, open your mouth a little bit. Yeah, so you don't have to stick out your tongue. If you open your mouth like that, you actually relax your jaw. Let your whole energy body be here. This body totally penetrates this body. You need all your energy. You can't just try to do it with forcing it up to the brain. This body is right between, you know, the brain, and it works the whole body. You need your whole body to allow the winds of emotion to move. Now, this is how we lock it. Up there in the ivory tower, trying to handle it. You know, drop down. You can feel the change. Because you're more here. That's great. So you're talking to your father. That's very intimate. That's very real. That's your shared ties, waves and ripples of so many things of your lives, a weave between the two of you. Whoever it was you asked would have had to be there for you to ask them, because they weren't there. So you're away from there. There's something there that you want to communicate to whoever it is you asked. You're not sure how to communicate it. So you go into concept. Oh, I know. I'll make this into a concept and ask them what they think of it. But that's not what you want to do. You want to open the experience to make it, share it with more people, right? But instead, you're asking them what to do. So they're in stress, right? So they're going to tell you the right answer. They're not here. They're here. Does that make sense to you?
No.
So then you're like between two things, like, you know. Yeah, it's beautiful. And so then you're taking it further. You're going on to the next car and saying, and it continues. Yeah, it'll continue forever. Feel this. Be intimate with this. Let it go. Let it be the truth in your body. Then you can speak with that to others. One of my, I don't know, these people downstairs are starting to have an influence on me. One of the, I am bad. I really am. You should send me to my room. One of my favorite parts in the New Testament was when they were going to stone that woman, you remember? Not because they were going to stone her, believe me. no, really. Not that good, no. So he leans over and writes something in the dirt. Do you remember that? Remember that? I mean, some of you have some. Bible is beautiful. He leans over. Everybody is roaring and angry and really not happy. And he moves to the ground of being and writes something. Everybody quiets down. I don't know whether he actually writes anything, but the parable of it. Go into the depth of your being and make your consciousness make a mark there and speak from that. That's very different than taking something and taking it up here and trying to make something valuable be used like potato chips, you know, to pass around at a party for people to describe. No, not fair. Not fair to you. So you are the one who wounded yourself due to ignorance. And now you are the one who knows what that wound is like and how you don't want to do that. Due to experience. So you need to just practice with that, you see? So now this is part of your repertoire, part of your choices, you know, part of the way you can bead the rosary of your life. Yeah. Is that helpful? Mm-hmm. How are we doing? What time did I say we'd break? 11 to 11:45. That's great, because then when you come back, we'll just spend a couple of minutes, and then when they're all in the lunchroom, we're going to have a good time doing a meditation that's different than the one we did yesterday. Whole different quality to it. I'll show you how to switch bases. Meanwhile, you got this third body, which has one sense door. Mind. Mind only. It is boundless. This infinite. This is finite. This is infinite. This is all the radiant energy. You got all three. This is finite. This is in charge of creating time, you know, in an infinite universe of possibility. You want to know what the greatest miracle is? Greatest miracle is saying, okay, it is now 5 minutes to 11. That is incredible. that out of a totality, open your mouth, relax. Out of a totality of possibilities, we can go, just this. And everybody goes, oh yeah, 5 to 11. Synchronize your watches. Or we can say, the year 2000. I mean, I think that's just hilarious. It's just the funniest thing. Yes, now, where do we start counting? See, I start counting from the time my ancestors in Thailand made this vase that I have that has been carbon dated at over 7,000 years old. So it's actually the year 7,395 for me, when it's going to be year 2000 for you guys. So I'm in a real conceptual balloon all by myself here with this one. I haven't got anybody to join me on my calendar yet. So you got the form body, which has six sense doors. You got the formless body, which has three sense doors. And you got the energy body, sorry, speech body. Body, speech, and mind, they're often called. With body, speech, and mind. Speech body, three sense doors. You got the mind body, one sense door. This is the mind body, it's one sense door, and it has two attributes. Two attributes. They are luminosity and knowing. Luminosity is like, Did you say something? No. Oh, there, you said it. Sorry, I was blaming someone else. Luminosity and knowing. Yeah, you could say it that way. This would be emotional. It's all the radiances. If you include angelic forms, you know, the whole energy around beings, you know, when you can feel when somebody's happy or sad. They don't need to open their mouth. You don't even have to see their face, do you? You can feel somebody just like, all right. Can you? No question. Especially if you know them well. The energy changes. I can feel when somebody is refusing to go below their neck. I feel it in my body. That this body reflects the bodies that are around it. Reflects the same pattern. So every time you allow your whole body to work with the emotion, my body is also working with it, with you. That's why it's wonderful just to listen to someone in grief. You are working it together. You don't have to fix it. You don't need to get an answer. What is it? Trouble shared is trouble halved. It's true. Or maybe even diminished more than that. These things are true. Let yourself feel your back. So there is this image. An ocean that is boundless and infinite. The waves and ripples, the winds and hurricanes, the soft breezes, the power and the softness of an ocean. A boat forms out of the ocean. It's a concept that is actually formed from having the relationship with the ocean. I noticed.
You're aware.
Aren't they nice? And a tiller to direct the boat. Called a self. What kind of boat do you have? Some of us have boats that just go around in little circles. Boy, I'm really going somewhere now. Man, I must be almost there. The thing is, we're right. We are all almost there. Or maybe even there. Huh? So, it's 11 o'clock. We'll meet back here at 11:45. Somewhere around there. Let's say, yeah, is that good, 11:45? And we'll start to move our, move into a technique, meditation. It's called meditation. Meditation is a technique. We'll start to move into a technique that should help you have a better choice of what kind of boat you have and how you want to outfit it. Okay? Do you want my coat? Someone had a question? You had a question? Yeah, exactly.
All those people, and I often, and not often, but sometimes I find myself in a situation where there's something I need, something that I really want to say, or something they're doing to me that I find to be hurtful, or often that. And I don't, you know, and I don't know how to
work with that. Absolutely. So you want to give something, but there's no place to give it. What did I say? What did I say? What did I say? Isn't that curious? What I said was, you want to give something, but there's no place to receive it. Does that sound right? Or someone is giving something and you don't want to receive it? Either way? Does that sound what you're describing? Okay, I just want to make sure I understood you. So please carry on. You might need to shut up on the outer, this realm, but don't shut up on this realm. What you do is you go back to where you live and recall the things about yourself that you enjoy, so that you have a wholesome base from which to dialogue. Then you write it. You write a letter. You draw it. You draw a picture. You sing it. You give that. You practice generosity. You give it to the energy field. You don't hold your energy back. You don't hold this back. You don't have to, you're not justified in dumping it on someone who can't receive it. But neither are you justified in dumping it on yourself. So you give it, but without object. I call that poetry. Some people call it painting. It is very valuable because that allows you to move through that expression, experience it, and learn from it. Let it distill, not let it stay as a clump. The energy, when you let it move, will straighten itself out. But that person isn't there, or that object, or that situation does not have an open door for that. So you don't. There's no point in being, you know, masochistic about it. So you don't deny the energy and you don't insist. Or as I often say to people, anger may have cause, but it is never justified. There may be great cause to feel anger or frustration, but you're never justified at picking an object and dumping it. There may be great cause for anger, and then you allow that to express, like you did with grief. You allow it to express, but you don't need an object. You don't need to use the world to rationalize your own emotions. And because if you do, then you've got to go around doing this sides thing. I'm right, they're wrong. Then you have to create a self that doesn't allow yourself to feel where that doesn't feel comfortable. You have to spend all your time only with people who agree with you, which is just so boring. You know? So then what you do is you allow that expression to happen, so that you are making sure you're real with yourself, and you wait. I guarantee you that if someone is, I have people living with, different people living with me all the time, you know? Sometimes people come for a week, some people come for an hour, some people come for 6 months. I always have space for people to come and do retreats with me, or just to do some work with me, hang out with me sometimes. And there are people who have, you know, two or three layers with everything they're saying. And I will hear one of the layers, and I will have a reaction to that layer, and I will know that this is not a good time. You can feel that. So now, very rarely do I need to go and work, you know, with my own emotion, because I've been doing this for so many years, you know. Sometimes I do, but a lot of it is very simple. I know what that is. I know how to move it through me, you know. And there is absolutely no point in my wanting them to hear me, because they can't even hear themselves. So I just wait, and sometime over the years, months, days, hours, the same activity will occur, but not complicated and with an openness to it. And I can feel that they are able to hear themselves. So then I tell them. So then I wonder what it is that's important for you to be heard. You see? That's what I'm hearing from you. Yeah, so I've told you how to do that. I've told you how to do that. But then I'm saying to you, and what is there in you that needs to be heard? I'm adding something to it. Yeah, so that's the part of yourself that you can want. That's what you can tell yourself. You know, imagine yourself outside yourself, interacting with yourself, and you want to tell yourself, why can't you hear? Why do you want to be hurt? See, that's a gift from yourself to yourself. The same kind of gift you want to give someone else, only this is from you to you. Does that make sense to you? Accept it. Only, no, I'm saying actually do something manifest. I'm saying paint it, write it. This is more aspiration you just put above your head in the etheric realm and let the angels take care of it. This is different. This is like write it, paint it. If you're going to draw it, do it with your non-dominant hand. Does that make sense to you? Yes.
Just made me think of a small thing. I've got a friend who's very similar to me in the way that we're sort of hay type and we're always quite negative when we're together. We use it as part of humour. And I recently found it really hard to be around her. I just wish I could spend time around her. Like, do you stop spending time around people or do you...
That's interesting, isn't it? That's difficult, isn't it?
Being around people who are negative, I'm kind of... You know, stop being negative and stop that pattern. It's to stop being around people who are
Quite hard. Yeah, I think what you have to do is work with space, because you're changing. So you're less amused by how negative you can be. You know, there's less identity tied with that. Mm-hmm. But your friend isn't changing at the same rate or doesn't have that. So you feel like you're being pulled too much by it, like too narrowed down by it. Am I accurate?
Yes.
So what you do is you notice that feeling. This is like looking at the old pattern and being aware of the new, yeah? You notice that feeling, and you notice the feeling, you notice that person becomes the object for that feeling, right? They. So then you just soften a little bit, like you imagine this humongous Buddha, gold Buddha hand, or whatever guru you want. Humongous is just supporting your back. So you got the negative and the non-negative, and you're just in between the two. And you have space for it. The problem is your friend will probably stop finding you amusing if you do that. It's too bad. The interesting thing is your friend might find it's not so amusing to be negative all the time either, which is very nice.
Well, I guess it's really hard sometimes, it's the same thing, to not say something and say, oh God, you're so negative all the time.
Well, you can do that if you got the big Buddha hand behind you, so that you're moving from kindness. You're not just irritated, you know, because that's like, damn bugs. Get rid of that one. I'm holy. Does that help? Big gold Buddha hand, warm and just right there on your back, just supporting you. Now you're just here. And you can also then say, gee, this is what other people must have experienced for me. Oh, I think I'll just watch this and see what kind of, you know, what comes around goes around. Yeah. Say, oh, this must be how a lot of people experienced me. Oh, that's interesting. Well, now if you got the big gold Buddha hand, you know, I'm really thankful when people come to learn how to talk to me when they're, you know, really into drugs big time, because I figure what comes around goes around. I say, come in. Do I owe? Get to clean out some of the shit that I didn't even notice I was using as paint. It's a nice opportunity.
Yeah, I guess that's how I'm trying to approach it.
Yeah, well, you can do that if you've got the wholesome to support you. And you say, oh, thank you. You can't do anything with the unwholesome, if you're in an unwholesome state. My beloved teacher, Namgyal Rinpoche, said that to me many years ago. Cecily, a dialogue with the unwholesome is unwholesome. Pretty straightforward. You need your wholesomeness. You need your foundation. And then you can allow the other to move. Otherwise, it's a struggle. And we know what Gertrude Stein said about war. Is that good?
Something quite interesting and amusing is happening to me, because I'm now experiencing a lot more movement and assistance from singing the Buddhist mantras and following the Buddhist tradition. And I'm also suffering a lot of guilt, which is the amusing bit, because Jesus, who I was raised with, doesn't come to mind first. And part of me, I'm sure, knows the answer to this. However, it really is very difficult, because my first response in a difficult situation is to sing a mantra, or, you know, if my cats kill a bird, relating to what you were saying. My first reaction is rage. I want to kill the cat. It used to be. Now I can sing the mantras for the bird and the cat.
Right.
And then up comes this guilt that I'm not saying a prayer to Jesus.
Maybe we could talk about this privately. Would that be useful for you?
Yeah,
you can talk to me after class and we'll set up a time. Thank you. So there you are, happy. Sitting here, wholesome. Letting all the different energies, emotions run through you, but basically you're happy to be here. Oh, there's your best friend. Just suddenly appears on your right side in front of you. Somebody you're really fond of. Let yourself visualize them there. God, that's so nice to see them. Feel how your body feels when you feel them there. We're doing an exercise on equanimity. Oh, there they are. Allow yourself to sort of have a recall of some event between you, some circumstance, some touch, whatever it is, that kind of epitomizes your friendship. There they are on your right. How beautiful. Let yourself consider that event. Before we go any further, is there anybody here under the age of 25? How old are you? Okay, thanks. I just need to know that for this exercise. So there they are on the right, your friend. Then think to yourself about that event. What were they doing a week before that event? Just let yourself imagine something they were doing. What was I doing a week before that event? What was our relationship? What were they doing 2 weeks before that event? What was I doing 2 weeks before that event? What was our relationship? What were they doing 3 weeks before that event? What was I doing 3 weeks before that event? What was our relationship? What were they doing a month before that event? What was I doing a month before that event? What was our relationship? What were they doing 2 months before that event? What was I doing 2 months before that event? What was our relationship? What were they doing 3 months before that event? What was I doing 3 months before that event? What was our relationship? What were they doing 6 months before that event? What was I doing 6 months before that event? What was our relationship? What were they doing a year before that event? What was I doing a year before that event? What was our relationship? What were they doing 2 years before? What was I doing 2 years before? What was our relationship? What were they doing 3 years before? What was I doing 3 years before? What was our relationship? What were they doing 4 years before? What was I doing 4 years before? What was our relationship? What were they doing 5 years before? What was I doing 5 years before? What was our relationship? What were they doing 10 years before? What was I doing 10 years before? What was our relationship? What were they doing 15 years before? What was I doing 15 years before? What was our relationship? What were they doing 20 years before? What was I doing 20 years before? What was our relationship? What were they doing when they were an infant? What was I doing when I was an infant? What was our relationship? What were they doing when they were in the womb? What was I doing when I was in the womb? What was our relationship? And then just suddenly someone that you have difficulty with just arises on your left. Someone you'd really rather avoid. Thank you very much. There they are. How does your body feel when you see them? What is an experience that epitomizes the difficulty between you? What were they doing a week before that experience? Let your mind come up with anything. What was I doing? What was our relationship? What were they doing 2 weeks before that event? What was I doing? What was our relationship? What were they doing 3 weeks before that event? What was I doing 3 weeks before that event? What was our relationship? What were they doing 4 weeks before that event? What was I doing 4 weeks before that event? What was our relationship? What were they doing 2 months before that event? What was I doing 2 months before that event? What was our relationship? What were they doing 3 months before that event? What was I doing 3 months before that event? What was our relationship? What were they doing 6 months before that event? What was I doing 6 months before that event? What was our relationship? What were they doing a year before that event? What was I doing a year before that event? What was our relationship? What were they doing 2 years before that event?